And so you will turn your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 3. And I'm going to read one or two verses. And I begin to preach, teach from God's word. Philippians chapter 3 from verse 13. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do. When you see the life of a successful man, and you want to succeed, when he says, I do something, wisdom will say that, give countenance. If Dangote comes here this morning, and he say, this is my daily ritual. Even if you are looking down, you want to raise up your head. Because he said, if this daily ritual will make this man to be rich, let me try it. That's common sense, isn't it? And so we want to learn from Paul. He said, but this one thing I do, I'm not there yet. But this one thing I do, in the process of getting there, in the process of fulfilling the call and making good my purpose, I've said to us severally, and you don't want to forget, one thing that will continue to put at your fore is the fact that you're a creation of purpose. You are not an accident. I'm going to take some time, you know, probably later in the year, to teach on purpose. I've done that at the headquarters church. I used about 3 months of Bible study to teach purpose. And I'm going to do that here because it is critical that we put our life right. Get the right perception of your existence. A lot have made shipwreck because they haven't gotten the right perception. They didn't get the right perception. And then they make a shipwreck. Some lays priority on what is not because they don't understand purpose. And some run after here because they don't understand purpose. This is a man of purpose called by God. He said, for I will show you great and mighty things you will suffer for my name's sake. God called him out so that he fulfill a cancer. God called you out so that you feed a cancer. God did not call you, you know, so that you can buy a new car. He didn't call you so that you can attend a church. He called you so that you can fulfill a purpose. You were captured. Praise God. We are all captives of God. And that is why you be careless. If you don't understand that you are not supposed to live your life carelessly, you must understand the way you need to live. You must understand that you were captured or redeemed to carry out a cancer. So that our life will not be a waste. So that our living will not be a waste. A lot of people are living unprofitable life. Life that is not bringing glory to him. Life that is not adding to the kingdom. Life that you are not missed when you are not around. Say, I'm not there yet, but this one thing I do. I forget those things which are behind, and I reach forth. Two things. My forgetter is very active. And then I move forward. I don't build a tent on what is past. I learn to move forward. Reaching forth unto those things which are before. As you have before you is cancer. You have before you his purpose. You have before you a race to run. In the Corinthians, he was saying to them, beside what he said, yeah, but it looks alike. He said, there's a race that is set before you. I wish when you wake up in the morning, you remember that as you are running a race. I wish that when you open your eyes every morning, it comes to you that you are in a race. Not competing against anyone, but competing against yourself. You are competing against the purpose of which you were called. Competing against the reason why you were redeemed. Competing against the call of God over your life. There is a call. There's a counsel. There's a will. There's a purpose. You need to run and you need to fulfill. Alive and living becomes a waste when you open your eyes to the other side and you find out you did not run your race. It becomes a wasted destiny. It becomes a wasted purpose when you open your eyes at the other end and you see the diary of God compared to your own diary. And you find out that you haven't done anything in the diary of God. I can't know myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before. My intention this morning is to make us to be more aware of our spiritual life. Listen to this first statement I'm going to say. Our physical life is a product of our spiritual health. Your physical life, what is happening around you, what is happening in your life, success, sickness, losses, failures, they are manifestation of spiritual health. They are manifestation of spiritual well-being. That's the first point I want you to get this morning as I proceed, you know, in this preaching. Believers are not likely to rise above their spiritual states. They are not likely. And that's why Paul was saying to them, he said, I wish that you prosper and you stay in health just like. In other words, there's a direct correlation to your prosperity, to your advancement, to your well-being, to your promotion, to you passing your exams, to you getting promoted at work. There's a direct link between that and your spiritual health. If a Christian is not growing, your physical life will not be growing. If a Christian is not moving on to maturity, your physical life will be stagnancy. And so when you see some stagnancy, when you see some failings, when you see some challenges in your physical life, then you have to question yourself, am I growing? Am I a baby Christian? Or am I a mature Christian? It is a product. If you are still wondering, let me read a place to you. It just occurred to me there, you know, when they were singing that special number, John chapter 15. So what the Bible says here, 15:4. It says, abide in me and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abides in the vine, no more can ye. No more can ye, praise God, except ye abide in me. Verse 6, if a man abide not in me, is cast forth as a branch. You need to abide. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. We are products of our spiritual health. Whatever you see around you today, if you want some changes, you need to listen to me this morning. If you want some improvements in your physical, if you want some improvements in your surroundings, you need to listen to me. Die is a call for a deeper walk and relationship with God. And I'm not speaking to you alone this morning. I'm speaking to us as a church. The country or a country is a product of the well-being of the church. Any country. Any country is a product of the state of the church of that country. If a church is spiritual, the country will be well. If a church is full of baby Christians, then you begin to see calamities. Because you see, I've said to you before, the unseen determines the seen. The spiritual determines the physical. When I was teaching about Moses, I said policies are products of spiritual arrangements. You know, a government can just say, we are going this direction. They do that based on their knowledge. But Christians should know that they do that based on spiritual movements. So church can actually change a government. Church can actually change a people. Church can actually vote in a government or vote out. Not by casting, but things that you arrange in the spiritual world. And so I'm not speaking to you alone, but I'm speaking to us as a church. A call for a deeper walk and relationship with God. That's what I'm talking about this morning. Can you do better in your relationship with Him? Can you do better in your walk with Him? The Bible spoke about a man that walked with God and he was not, because God took him. What a depth of relationship. What a depth of walk. He became friend of God that God could not leave him. God became his friend that he could not go back home. He was walking and God took him. He talks about the depth of relationship. He talks about the depth of knowledge that he has of God. Dive is a call for a greater commitment to God and his service. Listen, ladies and gentlemen. God brought you out so that you can fulfill a counsel. And so, dive is a call for a greater commitment to God. A lot of us are too much in the periphery. A lot of believers are always sitting on the fence. You are not committed to anything. When they say here, you jump to the left. And when they say here, you jump to the right. Never committed. God cannot hold you responsible for an assignment. Even man cannot commit an assignment into your hand. They gave you something to do, and then you mess it up. They gave you, you know, do this particular thing in the body, and then you are found wanting. It's like the people, God said the master was traveling, and he gave them talents, and one went to bear it. It's a show of non-committal to the master. I'm calling you to improve your commitments to God and his service. In the service of the Lord is your blessing. In the service of the Lord is your purpose. Your commitment takes God to be committed to you. The Bible says that God called, you know, Samuel, and Samuel did not know the voice of the Lord. And when he got to know that it was God that called him, he said, God, here I am. How many of us have said, God, here I am. Send me. God says that I'm looking. Can I get somebody that is committed? Can I get somebody that will say, God, here I am? Can I get somebody? You know, when I was teaching you about men of David, I talk about a particular man that stood in warfare. He said, this ground you are not going to take. And he fought until the sword, you know, entered into his hand. That is commitment, ladies and gentlemen. People that don't run away from battles. People that don't run away from challenges. People that don't turn away, you know, in the day of battle, in the day of war. Some of us, you know, are always available, you know, when the story is good. Some of us are always available, you know, when there are testimonies. Some of us are always available when there's chicken, you know, and when there's rice. But when there's death of food, when there's death of chicken, when the tides, you know, are going or swaying against you, a lot of us will run away. God does not look for those kind of people. God wants people that are constant. When there is sun, they are there. God is looking for people that are constant. When there's rain, they are there. In other words, God is looking for faithful people. He's not looking for anointed ones. It's not looking for powerful ones. It's not looking, you know, for the educated. It's just looking, you know, for people that say, God, I'm available. When a non-entity is available, God will make, you know, wisdom out of the non-entity. When the weak is available, God will make, you know, a strength out of the weak. You know, when the poor is available, God will make a rich out of the poor. God is looking for availability. There's nothing that you bring to God that is a CV before God. Nothing. Paul talking, he said, things that I can see as CV, he said, I trash them so that I can know him. There's no CV that can impress him. There's no attainment that can impress him. And that's why he cares less about your attainment. That's why he cares so much about your availability. Dive is a call for availability. Dive is a call for you to take boldness, to take a risk on God. I'm inviting you to be bold enough to take a risk on him. Some of us are always in our comfort zone. You refuse to step out of your comfort zone even though you're a believer. And so why are you a believer? A Christian lives out of comfort zone. A Christian takes a big risk on God. Like Esther said, he said, if I perish, I perish. Like the three Hebrew men said, we know that the Lord that we serve is able to deliver us. That is taking risk on God. We know that he deliver us. And if he did not deliver us, well, no big deal. We still love him all the same. We haven't committed our life to him, you know, because of what he can do and what he cannot do. We commit our life to him because we love him. Why are you here? It's a call for you to be bold enough to take a risk. Our life has been the way it is because you never taken any risk. How many of you have stepped out in faith, in life, and say, if I perish, I perish. I wish a couple would give their testimony here very soon. You know, they were struggling, you know, to pay school fees, you know, of their children. And we had their meeting. I said, let's do it this way. They say, exam is coming. I said, don't run around any longer. If the Lord will make a way before the exam, it's fine. But if there's no way before the exam, he said, I will join, you know, your family, and I will tell your children one has to step down for the other. They just told me 2 or 3 weeks ago, we are trusting God for Tinubu scholarship. I said, the name of our daughter has come out. That is taking a risk on God. Praise God. It's not running Eta Sketa. We've been running Eta Sketa. What are we gained? We've been running Eta Sketa. What have we achieved? Take a risk. Be bold. Put God in a problem. Put God in a challenge. He said, when you're in trouble, he said, I am with you. He said, I will deliver you and I will glorify you. So look for a trouble. Because in the trouble that deliverance will come. It's in trouble you feel his presence. It is in trouble that he will glorify his name. Yeah, you don't want to get into trouble. Say to your neighbor, get into one trouble. That's why you can see God. And so I invite you this morning to take a bold step and take a risk on God. Dive is a call for spiritual maturity. Church is filled and full, you know, of lackadaisical believers. Christians that are not growing. Christians that are always complaining. Christians not reading the Bible. Recently, we took a statistic. I found a lot of us don't have Bible. I said, if you don't have Bible, you know, are you reading Bible? How can you be a Christian and don't have Bible? You know, and say, fine babes, carrying nice bags, looking elegantly. You don't have Bible. You don't have Bible. How can you want to grow? You don't read your Bible. I'm calling us unto spiritual maturity. The Bible says he's giving up the ministry gift until we become.
The will of God for you and I, the will of God for the church is for us to become. We are not there, but the ministry gift, the pastor is preaching, the evangelist is preaching, the teacher is teaching, and the apostle is establishing churches until we all become. We are all in the process. But ladies and gentlemen, it is a sin for you to remain on the same spot. You might not be there yet. That Bible says, it says, that Paul said, I haven't apprehended, but one thing I do. What are you doing? It is a sin. It is calamitous. It is unacceptable for a Christian to remain on the same spot. I'm not asking you to take two steps. I'm not asking you even to fly. I'm not even asking you to jump. But what I'm asking you this morning, make sure that you don't stay on the same spot every day of your life. Make sure you don't stay. Make up your mind this morning. Pastor is calling me to dive spiritual maturity. You must mature. Can I say this thing to you, ladies and gentlemen? Woo! Except you are mature enough, God cannot trust you with eternal things. Except you mature. You know, I was talking, you know, to a church. He said the time that you should begin to eat strong meat. When I should begin to give you some cancer that are beyond this world. When I should begin, you know, to have some conversation with you. He said it is dangerous. You know, I can't. You know, sometimes when you see certain things to immature or baby Christian, they can run away, you know, with it and go and abuse it. And that's why, you know, the teaching and preaching of grace has become a problem in church. You know why? Because you are preaching to baby Christians. That's the problem. I say, oh, grace. Okay, so you say we should continue to sin. It's because you are talking to baby Christians. That's why the Bible says the preaching of the cross is foolishness to those people that are going to perish. That's what the Bible says. The people that are perishing, the preaching of the cross is foolishness. They don't see it. The same way when you are teaching certain things to believers, because they are not mature, they don't see it. And that's why we begin to warn you before you give. By the way, I want to thank you, ladies and gentlemen. We are giving more. I see that. I see more of us, we are giving our tithes more than ever. I need to thank you for that. And I want to thank God for your life. I see our offerings, you know, growing up. So that means that God is working in you. That means the work that we are teaching, we are preaching, you know, is making sense. We are getting better. Hallelujah to Jesus. But we can get better. And that's why it's a call for spiritual maturity. The more you grow, the more you find the need to grow. Did you get that? The more that you grow, the more you find the need to grow. If you are growing as a Christian, you see yourself that you need to grow. But some of us, we are so-called placents. You've been reading one verse of the Bible every day since you gave your... But the pastor said, just make sure you read the Bible every day. And you've been reading just one verse all the days of your life. How can you have, you know, a greater revelation? How can you have an encounter? And so dive is a call for spiritual maturity. Dive is a call for deeper love. We can love God the more. Let me say this to you, ladies and gentlemen. You better believe it. The way you live your life is a reflection of your love for God. The way you live your life, how you live your life, things you do with your life is a reflection of your love for Him. You say, come to church. You say, I'm tired. It's a reflection of your love. If you have a lover, you know what a Yoruba proverb says? Listen, and it's very deep. I've experienced it. He said, the person that we don't love is the person that his house is far. Anita affair, nile renjin. If you love somebody, the house is not far. You are dating someone, you know, and then after a while, I say, but I don't see you. He said, that place you are living is far. Ah, whoa, the demon round up. That relationship is done. If you love the Lord, you will give everything. If you love the Lord, we don't need to wind you. If you love the Lord, we don't need to encourage you. The love of God, that's what the Bible says, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, 15, there about. It says, the love of God constrains. The love of God compares. The love of God speaks. The love is strength. You see, when you have the love that constrains, it's talking about love is a force. Do you get that? Somebody can always constrain. How you get that? In other words, I restrain you. In other words, I release you. In other words, I hold you. That thing that can hold you must be stronger than you. That thing that can constrain you must be stronger than you. And so love is a force. So for those of you, babe and guy, and say, I love him, I love her. And say, what is love? Love is a butterfly that I feel when I feel like a butterfly. No, Inyeko. Love is a force. And so I call you to a deeper love. When you love God and you increase in his love, you have a force. And it's a positive force. It's not a demonic force. When you love the Lord, you find out that you're born for God. It was King David that was saying that, look, what is strong compared to be an usher in the house of the Lord? Can you imagine a king welcoming you to church? These days, even when you become king, we don't see them in church. King David, you see politicians that we pray for in church, and he won a post. He doesn't come to church again. They are busy constituency project. They are busy. They are sitting three times in a day. They are busy in, harassment and non-harassment. People that don't have focus. But David said, even though a king, he said, I have more thing that give. I have something else that give me more joy than being on the throne, and that is serving in the house of the Lord. Not even serving preaching. Gates, ladies and gentlemen, that is love. How much and how well do you love God? And so it's a call for a deeper love. I want to say to you, ladies and gentlemen, it is a time for church to arise. I like that when the Bible says arise. It's a commandment. It says arise, shine, for your light is come. Now, God will not give a commandment on what is not available. God does not make a demand on what you cannot. God does not make a demand. He become an unfair God if he did that. But he says arise. He command. It's like the church is sleeping. The church is lukewarm. The church is on oxygen. But he said, church, don't you know that there's light and glory in the midst of you? He said, arise, shine, for your light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. He's urging them. Can't you see the light? Can't you see the glory? You can have the light and see it in darkness. You can have the light and be looking. You can have the light and do nothing about the light. Arise. Church, arise. The world is waiting for you. The world is in turmoil. Economy is defying all, philosophy, all policies. Things are going down. You know why? Because the church is still sleeping. Our lives has remained the way it is. Why? Because you refuse to rise. In you is God. In you is his glory. You know what the Bible says in the book of Psalms? It said, God made you a little lower than Elohim. Praise God. In other words, The gene of God lives on the inside of you. You don't get it? What makes God to be God, you know, lives on the inside of you. What a great revelation. You need to understand that. That you are God. Praise God. That's what the Bible says. Somebody says, what are you talking about? I'm talking about the Bible. God is in you. God is for you. God is on you. What makes him? You see, the Bible says, if the spirit of him that raised Jesus from the grave, you know, lives in you, he will quicken. And that spirit is in you. This day we don't see Mabo, Adabo, Rumabo, Emio, Rumabo. That are nonsense. That spirit is in you. If you are conscious of it, it will quicken your mortal body. It is time for church to arise. It is time for church to shine. It's time for church to demonstrate the glory of God. Let me round up. Ladies and gentlemen, I'll continue another time. A Christian needs to sit down and look at yourself and see that in you lies everything that makes God God in you. You must assess yourself rightly. You must. When the Bible says, with God nothing shall be impossible. To a man that has God, nothing shall be impossible. The will of God for you is your spiritual maturity. That's what the Bible says. He walks in us. Oh, glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. Glory to Jesus. When you gave your life to him, he did not just leave you. When you became born again, he sealed you with his spirit, and that spirit started a work in you. And as I said to people, Christian walk is a spiritual walk. Christian life is a spiritual life. Oh, I wish I can preach some more. Let me just give you an highlight of what I begin to say next time when I begin to preach the second part of this and possibly the top part of it. Do you know that until you get to the deep end of a river, you are still in control of swimming? Those people that swim, you know what I'm talking about. You see, when you are still at the narrow or shallow end, you can see your leg is still on the floor. You can still struggle. You can decide, should I dive? Should I not dive? You are in control of the water. But when you get to the deep end, that's when water is in control of you. Our life has God in it. And the will of God is that I want to be in control of your life. When we begin to surrender to him, that's when we begin to live a spiritual life. That is when your life will begin to make sense. That is when your living will begin to make sense. At people's birthday, I pray for them. Above any other thing, I say to them, I say, may your life and living count. That's how I end up when I say birthday. May your life and living, may it count. Because when all is done, that's what we are left with. When all is done, that's what we are left with. What is the impact? We are all made to have influence. Oh, you are created to have influence. He influenced here on hearts. He influenced the devil. You don't get it? You get it now. The Bible says, and the key of the kingdom has been given to you. That's influence. That is power. That is control. Are you there this morning? He said the key of the kingdom. When you have the key of a house, you smile. When you have the key of a car, you're excited. God says, I give you the key of a kingdom. And here you sit. And you are wasting away your life. You are wasting away purpose. You are not reconciling your life with what God has done for you. He said, I give you the key of a kingdom. He said, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. That is influence. Woo! You are looking at me. That is influence. He said, whatsoever you bind is bound. You know, when you bind, and some people go to God to report, God will say, go and meet him. Go and meet him. And say, if you decide to say, I'm losing, that's it. There's no influence that is greater than that. There's no power that is greater than that. We are studying dominion. There's no dominion that is stronger than that. I just wake up. I say, I want to bind. And I bind. And God says, it is done. As I want to lose. You know, and that's why the president of a country is powerful. When the legislature, when they pass a law, they have to get to him and say, he must sign it. If he say, I'm not signing, it's not yet a law. That is the kind of power that resides in a believer. When God says it, and I sign it, it is done. That is the level that you have. Ladies and gentlemen, I invite you, I continue another time. I invite you into a deliberate, mark my word, a deliberate walk with God. I want us to cease from yo-yoism. I want us to cease from the noise of the markets. A lot of us are living noise of the market kind of Christianity. Neither here nor there. The Bible says, I've set my face like a flint. I want you to have a resolve this morning. Resolve to walk with God, because that is what he requires of you. Every other thing will come. Don't measure your service. Don't measure your work based on what is done and what is not done. Can I say something to you? Everything that you are looking for, everything that you are praying for, you eventually have them. I can say that to you. You will eventually have them. It's just looking like it's a tall order now. Will it ever happen? If you look back into your life, you find out that in the past, God has shown himself faithful. There are things that you are looking for that time. It looks like, can I ever have them? You got them. But the problem is that we forget easily. You will. But one thing that is above all those things is a deliberate, conscious war with God. I invite you into a deeper part of the river. Therein lie blessings. Therein lie revelation. Therein lies robust war with him. I invite you to take our Christian life more seriously. Be more committed. Be more resolved. Fight. That's what the Bible says. Fight the good fight of faith. And there's nobody that fights that put to shame. Because you know what? You are fighting to maintain victory. You are not fighting to have victory. The victory is done. You are only fighting to maintain it.
Can please buy it. Ladies and gentlemen, wherever you're seated, bow your heads. I wouldn't know what God has said to you or ministered to you, but talk to God based on whatever He said to you this morning. I want you to talk to God. I want you to have a resolve for a walk. I want you to have a resolve. Forget whatsoever that has been debarring you. Or, I'll talk about that next time. Forget all those things. Just say, God, I want to walk with you. I want to walk with you. Forget your weaknesses, your failures, your sins. Forget all those. Just say to God, I want to walk with you. And say the scripture, the Lord walks in me to will. And God, you are walking in me. God, you are walking in me. You are walking in me. When He walks in you, He will take you above and beyond all the limits, the barriers, the weaknesses, the challenges, the failures, your concerns. When He's walking in you, He will take you above and beyond them. You just show commitment and say, God, as dirty as I am, I come. God, as good as I am, I come. God, as weak as I am, I come. Like I said to you, God will use the weak. God will use the dead. God will use the baby. God will use, just say, God, I come. I come for a deeper walk. I come for a deeper encounter. Lord, I'm committed.